Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I want to welcome you again to our Watoto Church service. Wherever you are watching online, on air, or listening to us on radio or through our podcast, thank you for joining us. Boy, I want to celebrate. God has been so good. He's continuing to sustain our country. He's continuing to sustain our world when it comes to COVID-19. And I just want to encourage us, please, let's not relax on those guidelines that have been given to us. Let's continue to uphold them as we stop the spread of coronavirus so we can get things back to normal. God will enable us. Well, let's dive into God's word today. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to speak to us once again, your powerful word of truth, in Jesus' name, amen. We're carrying on our series, Thriving in Tough Times. And we said there are two kinds of mindset when it comes to facing tough times, a survival mindset and a thrive mindset. And we need to adopt the thrive mindset that focuses on what God can do to help us grow and develop and even flourish in tough times. That's the kind of mindset. And last week we said, in order for us to thrive in tough times, we need to depend on the power of prayer. There is power when God's people pray. We also said that prayer is the divine invitation to commune with God, to connect with God, to fellowship with God, to make our needs known to God. James 5:16 says this, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let me say that again. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Well, today I want to talk to you about praying powerfully and effectively. Now, powerful and effective prayer, my friends, is not for a chosen few. It's for all of us. We can all pray powerfully and effectively. Jesus, while he was on earth, modeled a life of prayer, a life that demonstrated the power and the effect and the impact of prayer. His disciples saw his lifestyle of prayer and admired the fruit in Jesus' life. And so they came to him and said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Now, please note, this is not the first time the disciples are being taught how to pray. In Jewish culture, the religious leaders used to take it upon themselves to teach the people about God and even about prayer. So they used to teach about prayer. But the challenge with their teaching was that they were limiting prayer to a religious routine, a religious ritual that people just used to go through the motions. But the disciples saw a different dynamic when it came to the way Jesus prayed. And also Jesus observed that the people were missing out on the power and the effectiveness of prayer. So there was a gap, and he began to teach about prayer. So let's jump into one of Jesus' teachings about prayer in Matthew chapter 6 from verses 5 to 13. And here's Jesus teaching on prayer, teaching the crowds. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. That's great. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is one of Jesus' powerful teachings on prayer and how we can pray powerfully and effectively. There are five keys to powerful and effective prayer that I want to draw out of Jesus' teaching. So key number one, powerful and effective prayer is based on relationship. Notice how Jesus uses the term Father while referring to God. Four times he refers to God as Father. Now that term Father is a very relational term, because powerful and effective prayer is based on a relationship with God as a Father. It's relational. Some people view prayer as a transaction between man and God. We only come to God in prayer when we have needs. We treat God like an ATM machine. When you have a need for something, you just go to the ATM machine, get money out of it, punch a few buttons and money comes through and off you're gone. God is not an ATM machine. God is a Father. He longs to have a relationship with us. And for us to pray powerfully and effectively, we need to have the right view of God as a Father and not just as an ATM machine, someone we come to just to get things from. I once heard Reinhard Bonnke say, we have two fathers. We have an earthly father and we have a heavenly father. Now, our earthly fathers are not perfect. They make mistakes. In fact, sometimes they'll do things that hurt us. And so the concept of father becomes hindered by our experience with our earthly fathers. But God, our heavenly Father, is different. He is perfect in all his ways. He is a good, good father. And so when we come to him in prayer, we come to him with this view of a father who loves us. Psalm 103 verse 13 says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. So when we pray, my friends, we are bringing our request to God based on this relationship with God as a father. Now, I've already said God is a good father, but God is not just a positional father. He's also a relational father. He actually wants to be our friend. I think about Abraham in the Bible. He's referred to as a friend of God. He had such a relationship with God that the Bible calls him a friend of God. So God just doesn't want to be father. He wants to be our friend when it comes to prayer. So what's my point here? Effective and powerful prayer is not transactional. It is relational. It's based on a relationship with God as a father. The second key that I want to bring out from Jesus' teaching when it comes to praying effectively and powerfully is faith. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Here's what Jesus is saying. When you pray, it's not what you see with your physical eyes that matters. When you pray to God our Father, you may not see him with your physical eyes, but he is there. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So when we pray, we must have faith that God is right there. He's listening. He sees us. And in fact, Jesus says, the Father, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So God is real. He's there. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. On this subject of faith, Jesus taught in Mark 11 when it comes to faith and prayer. And I'll give you the background. Jesus was once walking with his disciples in Jerusalem, and he went to a fig tree that never had any fruit. And Jesus says, may no one ever eat fruit from this particular tree. And Mark 11 from verses 20 to 24 says, the next morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Then Peter remembered the words of Jesus. He remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Jesus begins to unpack the subject of faith. Verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Faith is a powerful key when it comes to prayer. Faith means we believe God. I love someone who defined faith as an acronym that stands for full assurance in the heart. So when we are praying in faith, we are praying with a full assurance in the heart that one, God cares about our needs. Secondly, God can meet our needs. But also thirdly, God is willing to meet our needs. That's what faith is. So it's a critical key to effective and powerful prayer. And because of the faith we have in this great Father of ours, Father God, sometimes we dedicate seasons of prayer. We go for 3 days, we go for a week, sometimes we go for even a month, and we just dedicate that time in prayer. It's a faith move. Other times we will fast. To fast simply means we deny ourselves certain pleasures, most commonly food, for the sake of exercising our faith in a God who answers prayer. So faith is a critical key when it comes to praying effectively and powerfully. Mark chapter 6 records a very sad story. Jesus was in his hometown, and the Bible says he could not perform miracles in his own hometown. Why? Because of unbelief. They lacked faith. In fact, the Bible says Jesus was so amazed at their lack of faith. For us to pray powerfully and effectively, we need to have faith. Here's my final thoughts on that subject of faith. A heart of unbelief is a hindrance to powerful and effective prayer. Let's have faith when we pray. The third key that I want to pull out from Jesus' teaching is this. Powerful and effective prayer is based on right motives. Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. Jesus said, prayer has never been a performance. It's not about a show. It's not about an acrobatics, gymnastic kind of thing like some people do. No, it's never for show. Prayer is about the genuineness of our hearts, the motives that come from our hearts. For the hypocrites, Jesus said, they wanted to be seen. That was the goal of them praying, standing on the street corners to show off. And Jesus said they got their whole reward because they just wanted to be seen. Pure motives will make our prayers powerful and effective. God will never answer prayer that's based on wrong motives, my friends. I think of the story in the Bible in Numbers 22 and 23. Great story. Go and read about it. About a king called Balak. He was the king of Moab, and he was afraid of the children of Israel. And so he decided to invite a prophet called Balaam, and he asked this prophet to speak a curse upon the nation of Israel, because he thought if he spoke a curse, then this king Balak would have victory over the nation of Israel and over the people of Israel. His motivation was such a negative one. In fact, it is proved when you continue to read in that particular portion of scripture, Numbers 22 and 23, Balak went all the way to bribe the prophet Balaam to speak a curse over the people of Israel. And each time Balaam tried to speak a curse over the nation of Israel, he found himself speaking a blessing. And Balak got upset and he increased his bribe. He did many things to try and get Balaam to speak a negative word over Israel, but he couldn't. And Balaam finally came to Balak the king and said to him, listen, God is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he promised and not fulfilled? Has he promised and not acted? And then he concludes by saying, I cannot curse what God has already blessed. God cannot answer prayer based on a negative motive. And for some of you who are watching today and listening, there are people who are praying all kinds of prayers against you because they hate you, or maybe they are envious of what you have and they don't like what God is doing in your life. Please have this confidence. Do not be afraid. God cannot answer prayer that's based on wrong motives. Wrong motives spring from our selfish and evil desires. And these wrong motives not only affect our prayers, but also affect our relationships. James chapter 4 talks about it. James 4 verses 1 to 3 says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want. So what do? You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. You do not pray. And verse 3 says, and when you ask, when you pray, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God cannot answer prayer that's based on wrong motives. Our hearts and our heart condition matters when we pray. When it comes to praying powerfully and effectively, my friends, the agenda of your heart matters. So, powerful and effective prayer is based on the right motives. The fourth key that I pick from Jesus' teaching is that powerful and effective prayer is not based on our words, it's based on God's word. It's based on scripture. It's not so much what we say, it's about what God actually says. It's not so much our wishes, it's about the will of God. I've had some people pray, and all they're doing is narrating their stories to God. They are trying to convince God about their needs. Some even go into a mode of negotiating with God. Now, when it comes to prayer, powerful and effective prayer is not about us telling God stories and going around circles. It reminds me of my little girl. And during this lockdown period, she came to me one morning and she had a piece of paper. And then she came and she said to me, Daddy, is this the spelling of the word pizza? And I told her, no, sweetheart, you got to do it differently. So I gave her the correct spelling of pizza. And then she went and wrote pizza and began to draw a pizza. Then she came back and said, Daddy, is this the spelling of burger? And I said, no, corrected it. And then she went, is this for chicken burger? Is this for beef burger? And then I began to realize that her intention wasn't just about spelling pizza or burger. She wanted a pizza or a burger. It was a coded request. When it comes to God, my friends, you do not need to come with a coded request. We just gotta be direct and come to Him and just make our need known to Him. There's some people who will pray and say, oh God, I have come from home, and as I've been passing by path here, I saw this restaurant, and this other restaurant was new. It was good to see the people in there. Oh God, even the smell of the food is good. Stop the story. Simply say, God, would you give me daily bread today? Prayer is not about narrating our stories to God. Matthew 5, verses 7 to 8, Jesus said, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So prayer is about inviting God to change the narrative of our stories. So what words do we use when we pray? Use God's word. Use God's word. I read a quote a few weeks ago that says, God's word in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in his own mouth. Use God's word when you pray. Because when you use God's word, you are actually praying God's will into your situation. So here's what you do in prayer. You have your situation on one side, and then you have the Bible on the other side, and you begin to apply God's word to that situation. Pray using God's word, because God's word reveals his will. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. We can be confident we'll receive what we've asked of him because we've prayed according to his will. The surest way of knowing God's will is through scripture. So fall in love with God's word. Pray those promises of God into your situation. God honors his word. It will never return to him void. It will accomplish what it was designed to. So to pray powerfully and effectively, use scripture. Use God's word. Finally, to pray powerfully and effectively, we need to pray in unity. Unity is so important, my friends, because there are issues that we face as an individual when we are going through tough times, but there are issues that we face that don't just affect the individual, but affect the community, affect the nation, affect the entire world, just like we are in today with COVID-19. It's a situation that is impacting the entire world. This calls for us to pray in unity, my friends. So we need to unite together in prayer so we can face this challenge that is of a global scale. No wonder Jesus says, this then is how we should pray. We say, our Father. Not just my Father, but our Father. There's a time when we need others to come together, hold hands, so we can pray together and say, our Father. Unity is not just about being together. It's more than that. It's more than being in the same place. Unity is about being one in heart, being one in mind, and being one in spirit and purpose. Jesus' prayer was that we be one, just like he and the Father are one. When there's no unity, it affects the impact of prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, husbands, if you do not treat your wives right, and there's no unity there, your prayers will bounce off the ceiling. Where there's no unity, it impacts the power of prayer. Our final story I'm going to tell you is one found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And it's about King Solomon. After he had built the temple and dedicated the temple, God appeared to him and began to speak to him incredible words that were relevant then, but are also relevant today concerning the nation of Israel, but also concerning our world today. Very amazing words. 2 Chronicles 7 from verse 13 to 15 says, and this is God speaking to Solomon. He said, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. The key thoughts from this portion of scripture are this. God is looking for his people to pray corporately. If my people, united prayer. But secondly, God is saying we need to humble ourselves. We need to come to the place where we recognize that there are challenges that are beyond our control. COVID-19 has shown us that there are things that are beyond human science. So we got to humble ourselves and do the third thing, which is to pray and seek his face corporately. Together as a church, and I'm inviting many of you to be involved in a prayer movement that's global. It's called Unite 714, and it's based on this scripture. Praying twice a day, 7:14 a.m. in the morning and 7:14 p.m. in the evening. Calling on God to heal our land. And then he also says, we got to turn from our wicked ways. Oh, how the world had turned its back on God. This is the time for us to repent and turn back to God and open our hearts to Him. He's a good Father. And this is how God would respond. He will hear our prayer. He will forgive sin. And He will heal the land. So corporate prayer, my friends, is powerful. And it is effective when it's done in unity. That's the powerful key to effective prayer. So as I conclude, I just want to remind you these five keys to effective prayer. One, it's based on relationship with God as a Father. It's based on faith. We need to have the right motives as we pray. We need to pray using the scriptures, God's word, and we need to pray in real unity, corporate prayer. It's powerful. We all can pray powerful and effective prayers. But like I started, it's based on a relationship that we have with God as a Father. So before I close, I want to ask you, what's the state of your relationship with God? Can you confidently say, I'm a child of God? The biggest hindrance for our relationship with God is sin. But God solved the sin problem by sending a Savior. His name is Jesus. God loves us so much that He gave us Jesus. That if we believe in Him, any of us believe in Him, we don't have to be afraid of perishing. We shall have eternal life with Him. So if that's you today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to pray powerfully and effectively, but I'm not even in right relationship with God. I want to pray with you today. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Say, Dear Father, I thank You that You love me. You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, for my sin. Today, I repent of my sin and ask You to forgive me and make me a child of God. In Your name I've prayed. Amen. Amen. Come on, that's an amazing decision you've made today. And now you are a child of God. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. He's your Father. And now you can approach Him with confidence and your prayers will be powerful and effective.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.